Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back for the official start of the 2023-2024 Blitz Podcast NFL football season. Joined, of course, by Harley Schultz, like always. Harley, we've got a few of our preseason weeks in and out of the way, and now we are heading towards the start of a 17-game NFL season, 18 weeks. You ready?
Well, of course. I mean, once you get those first couple hits in, your body is fully ready for the long journey ahead, the full season. And unlike in the NFL, we don't get a bye week. So we'll be here covering the best options for you from a fantasy standpoint, particularly on a daily fantasy standpoint, for each of those 18 weeks until we reach the playoff season.
Yeah, who was it a few years ago that didn't get a bye week? They got traded. Was it AP?
Was it Peterson? I don't know about that. There was someone that was, it probably was Brandon Cooks. He's been traded everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. There was somebody, though. They got traded, and they didn't hit a bye week, and then they didn't hit a bye week. They got on a new team that already had their bye week. So they played, I think it was 16 games back then. 17 weeks, I should say. 16 games. But in any event, this week what we're going to do is we're going to keep it simple for people. We are going to talk about setting week one lineups and then get into what is, I believe, Harley's favorite segment that we do on a weekly basis going forward now, our DFS, pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays, since we've never come up with anything better to call it. But before any of that happens, I got to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson announced this past weekend that the Lions would use Jahmyr Gibbs in some ways that people don't think we might. Not exactly the news I want to hear. I'd rather hear that the Detroit Lions intend to feature him on offense. Now we have to worry about Gibbs being used on special teams, defense, in the concession stand? Who knows? Well. Speaking of the Lions, the team is in negotiations with quarterback Jared Goff on a potential contract extension. We here at BPN News believe that the major in the negotiations is that the team is concerned for Goff's health, and they do not want him to reprise his role as Ken's stuntman in the upcoming Barbie sequel. Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp was in Minnesota over the weekend to see a specialist following a setback in his treatment for a hamstring injury. My simple question here is, why Minnesota? Does Los Angeles not have leg injury specialists? I mean, I venture the guess that Cooper Kupp came to Minnesota because he wanted to experience the wonder that is the Minnesota State Fair, which from my own personal experience is light years better than any fair hosted in the state of California. Mark Andrews missed yet another day of practice Monday, raising further concern regarding his undisclosed injury status, which popped up last week. Consider this your early reminder that Isaiah Likely is the only individual outside of the porn industry to ever have value handcuffed to a tight end. And finally, Jozen Anderson has chosen to re-sign with the Dolphins, who have chosen to place him on their practice squad. It remains to be seen if the Dolphins will choose to elevate Jozen at their next chosen one. I hope they choose wisely. I know what choice I would make. This has been your BPN News Update.
I had no choice but to listen to that. Okay. Oh, well.
I can't believe he found a job still. I mean, he had one season where he did anything.
Well, there are some guys that have never done anything, and they still get paychecks in the NFL, but we won't. And I mean, hey, look, it's being an NFL player is not easy. So, you know what else isn't easy? Setting week one lineups for some people.
So, yeah, you scratch your head, you pull out your hair, and you're sitting on the golden throne Sunday morning with your cell phone, just like trying to keep yourself from fidgeting with your lineup, and it's hard to do.
Yeah. So let me ask you. Let's do this instead of really going through our, telling people what we think and how they think we should do it. How about I just throw out a few names to you, and you tell me if I should most likely start them or sit them. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
All right. We're going to start off with a nice easy one here. Nice softball for you. The Lions are going to have a really, I think, an improved team this year, and their defense looks like it could be something special also. Should I start Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I agree. Detroit Lions defense looks really good. I've actually got one league where we still use defense and special teams as a category rather than individual defensive players, and they're the only defense I drafted. Now, I'm going to be forced to play them in that matchup on Thursday night. But if you need an excuse to maybe not want to start Patrick Mahomes, yes, it's a Thursday night game. And we all know that most Thursday night games are stink fests. Now, you also have to look at the fact that other than Travis Kelce, Patrick doesn't have a lot of familiar receivers back this year. So, oh, wait, no, this is Patrick freaking Mahomes. He's in your lineup. Next question.
Okay. I was like, man, you're scaring me there. All right. So I have a league where I had the second pick, and Justin Jefferson went first. So I got stuck with Christian McCaffrey, and I'm worried about him playing in Pittsburgh, and he gets injured a lot. Should I start him?
Of course, yeah. Send him to Pittsburgh. And now people will find out in the next couple of weeks that I'm actually a little concerned about the entirety of that San Francisco offense. I am not a true believer in Brock Purdy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this season. And the other big issue with McCaffrey is that, I mean, who knows if he's going to be given the opportunity to get the ball at the goal line. Last year we saw them continually force feed us Elijah Mitchell in situations that just basically made absolutely no sense. Again, though, it's Christian McCaffrey. You spent a top three pick more than likely on him. He's in your lineup. Don't overthink it.
There you go.
Next.
And since I missed out on JJ in that one league, I made sure I got into like 36 other leagues so I could get at least the pick, the first pick overall. And I got JJ. I'm not sure. Like, is Kirk going to be good this year? And should I be playing JJ, or should I maybe think about doing something else? I mean, Tampa Bay, they're not the same, but I don't know. What should I do?
Well, Minnesota is going to have a hard time running the ball in this game. Tampa Bay is actually fairly good against the run, and Tampa Bay is very mediocre against the pass, and Minnesota got rid of their number one running back from last season, Dalvin Cook. So Justin Jefferson is primed for a huge game. I have a strange feeling we might talk about him a little bit later, and get him in your lineup. No qualms whatsoever. Not at all.
So now that we've gone through our comedic sketch here, or skit here, I guess that the point that we're trying to make to people is don't overthink it. You drafted these guys for a reason, especially early on in your drafts, right?
Yes.
The guys you drafted to be your running back three or your wide receiver three, four, and maybe then you can start to think about should I or shouldn't I start somebody. But for the most part, week one should be the easiest lineup you set, quite honestly. And that's because you drafted who you thought were the best players. We don't really have that much information on matchups. We may be able to say, well, this is what we think how somebody will play, or we know the teams play better or worse on the road generally, et cetera, right? But for the most part, you're not going to overthink any of that. Just set your lineup and have fun this week.
Well, and I think that also when you look at things, it's early in the season, obviously. So, again, we have to kind of look at what teams have done in the past seasons. But there's been a lot of changes to teams, too, since last season. New offensive coordinators, new defensive coordinators, new players drafted, new players signed as free agents, players lost in free agency. All of these things can and do make a alteration in what you might expect from a player week one. But then again, if you drafted someone in your first 3 to 4 rounds of your draft, unless you drafted Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor in one of those rounds,
right,
that player is going to be in your starting lineup week one. And again, worry about those guys that you may have taken around 5, 6, 7, 8 that you might have to mix and match a little bit. But don't get cute. There's no reason to get cute. It's week one.
No, you can get cute later in the year and cost yourself a win or something. Or,
if you want to get cute, leave those guys out of your daily fantasy lineup.
Hey, you know what? That's a pretty good transition. I think that we've made our point about setting lineups in week one. And you're right. If you're kind of not sure, you don't feel good about it, play some DFS and put them on the bench. Put somebody else in there. So at least you're hedging your bets, so to say.
And of course, if you really are sweating a decision on a player, always make sure that you just drop an X or drop a tweet to Steve or myself or any of the other members of the Huddle team, and we will certainly come back with you with an answer, probably saying to start your studs. But you know what? If there is any doubt, give us a chance. We'll let you know our feelings.
Exactly. And I know that, you know, like I said, we're going to go into Harley's wheelhouse here, DFS. Everybody loves DFS, especially Harley. We like to call this our pay-ups, our stay-aways, and our value plays for those that don't know. Harley sends me the prices for players at the two major sites, FanDuel and DraftKings. And each of us will give you who we're paying up, who we're staying away from, who our value plays are. And you can use that if you'd like to try and help make some educated decisions. In addition to that, Harley will set an over-under for us on how many he thinks that the over-under will be for us to agree on. And I'll say if I'm taking the over-under, because we have to bet on everything.
There's always – everything's better with money on the line.
There you go. Well, setter, babe. What is it?
It's going to be 5.
5. 5 in week one. There were a couple that stood out to me as like no-brainers. You know what? I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling a lot of positivity here. I want to be a good guy. I'm going to take the over.
Oh, okay.
So why don't you go ahead and get us started off for the very first pay up of the year at quarterback?
Well, we all know how highly you rank quarterbacks and whatnot. So
yes,
we're going to pay up for not the most expensive quarterback on the board, actually. I looked at the quarterbacks, and I don't mind the more expensive quarterbacks on the board. Lamar Jackson is right around price. His DraftKings price may be a little bit safer. But there's one guy who I feel is really underpriced, particularly based on the top range of quarterbacks and matchups this week, and that's Justin Herbert at home versus Miami. This game, it's going to be a shootout. Vegas has set it with the highest combined point line on the main slate, behind only the Thursday night game with Detroit and Kansas City. The depth of wide receiver options right now that Herbert has to throw to, not to mention Austin Eckler coming out of the backfield, and Gerald Everett and Donald Parham at the tight end position. Dolphins have a pretty good secondary, but their secondary is going to be without their number two cornerback, Jalen Ramsey, this week. So there's going to be exploitable matchups. Josh Palmer or a guy like Keenan Allen operating underneath. I think that Mike Williams is probably going to be shadowed by Xavier Howard, so I don't love him as much. But yeah, maybe Quentin Johnson gets into the scoring, and certainly, like I said, the tight ends and Eckler are in play as well. So Justin Herbert, 6,900 on DraftKings, 8,100 on FanDuel. A little bit of savings off the top price, guys, but probably the highest potential upside.
You know, I don't disagree with any of that. The one thing I don't really like about this, I know that Miami's down a cornerback, and I think that they're going to have a pretty solid defense. The thing that bothers me the most about that matchup is the Florida heat, right?
That is true.
That's just something early in the season. I just have a feeling it's going to be a slightly lower scoring game.
Oh, fortunately, the game is in Los Angeles.
Oh, well, that's true. What am I thinking of? I'm in mid-season form already. Well, in Los Angeles, it's going to be pretty hot too for early in the season, right?
It is, is the SoFi Field, isn't that like a three-season roof to that now? Or
yeah, that's a weird stadium. I don't know. It's going to be
It's a very weird – it's actually a gorgeous stadium. And
that is true.
But it is kind of weird how it's laid out there. It's interesting to see what's going to happen with the heat and how it's going to affect players. I feel like it affects defensive backs probably more than wide receivers, because defensive backs are forced to backpedal in coverage. I also think, obviously, it affects the big guys in the trenches who might get tired out a little quicker. Yeah. So that may affect running games for teams. I don't think it's going to affect the wide receiver, though, because wide receivers tend to typically be in peak physical shape. Obviously, you have to worry about cramping and stuff, and hopefully they'll have a big jug of pickle juice on the sideline for all the wide receivers as they're playing to keep themselves loosened up in the legs and hamstring regions. And take that as a piece of advice, Mr. Cooper Kupp. Drink some pickle juice.
Yeah, and this is also good.
I was going to say, we also can look at things, though. I mean, here in Minnesota, today, the temperature right now is right around 97 degrees.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m. in Minnesota. However, Wednesday's high is 72 degrees.
Yeah.
Things are starting to cool off a little bit. I think we'll see temperatures being not quite as oppressive as we've come to see the last couple days here. And I think that'll spread across most of the U.S. too.
Gotcha. So there's a lesson in this is double check when you write something down, because I actually had it written down that the Chargers were playing in Miami. And that's just a mistake on my part, right? I mean, I usually flip between tabs, and this time I decided that I was going to write it all down and try and make my notes and work from that, and it screwed me. But anyway, I'm just saying that I don't disagree with your pick, and at that price, I think it's a smart pick, but I didn't pay up for him. I went with a guy that's going to do it both with his arm and with his legs, and he's at home, and I just think he's got something to prove, and he's got a JV team he's facing. So I did pull the trigger on Lamar Jackson. And by the way, for those that don't know, Harley and I do not discuss this beforehand. We discuss, you know, the format. Okay, we're going to talk about this and this, and these are our two segments, but we don't discuss what else is going to be spoken about. What we talk about is like, hey, how you doing? What are you? Oh, yeah, the Twins are winning 13-1. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Phillies are up 8-4, 8-1, whatever.
Twins are now up 18-1.
18-1. And then Harley says, well, I could sure use a Schwarbaum. Well, guess what? A Schwarbaum happened while you were correcting me about the the game where it was being played. So you got your wish there. And now Bryce Harper's at the bat, and he's the only player in the Phillies lineup that doesn't have a hit right now. So, and he doesn't have one now because he just struck out. Okay, so we didn't match at our payups. Who are you staying away from?
This one was fairly easy for me, and normally I will not take an injury out as a reason to stay away from a player. But this guy has been projected that he's going to play. He's going to start. So the only injury question mark is whether or not he's going to be rusty, and that's what I'm most concerned about, is Joe Burrow at Cleveland. He's 7,100 on DraftKings, 7,900 on FanDuel. That's actually more expensive than Herbert. And he's in the top four on both sites. I'm sorry, top four on DraftKings and number six on FanDuel in terms of pricing. I don't want to pay that much for a guy who might be rusty. And if you look at his historical numbers against Cleveland, he's been very mid. He's typically averaged right around 250 passing yards and two touchdowns a game. Now, that's decent. That's pretty good. He'll probably finish as quarterback 15 or 16 this week. But you don't want to finish as quarterback 15 or 16 this week when you're paying top four money for him.
No. Again, we don't have a match there, but I don't disagree with your thought process there, honestly. My stay away is a guy that's priced a little bit higher than that. So that means I've paid up for Lamar Jackson. There's only two people that are priced higher than Joe Burrow that I didn't already pay up for, and that's Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields. Two very similar quarterbacks. What I don't love about Jalen Hurts this week is he's going on the road to New England against a team that is expected to have a pretty good defense. And then you have Justin Fields, who's at home against Green Bay, the first time that the Packers will be without Aaron Rodgers in who knows how long. I know he didn't play defense, but how does that impact the team, right? So which of those two did I decide to stay away from? Well, I don't know that Justin Fields has warranted his price yet. I know where everybody expects him and wants him to take the leap to, but until I see it, I don't want to pay for it. So I'm going to stay away from Justin Fields this week.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I actually looked at both of those guys as potential stayaways for much the same reasons you did. I decided that I didn't hate Hurts as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
Because New England's defense, while it's meant to be improved this season, they've got a lot of vanilla pieces. They don't have quite the stars that they've had in the past, particularly in the secondary. So I think that Hurts is probably going to have a down day. And I certainly am not paying $9,000 for him on FanDuel. There's no chance in hell that's happening.
Right.
That's more than Jackson's price. But no, I get what you're saying with Justin Fields. He may have to prove it a little bit more. I think he's in for a huge season.
I do too.
It's not a horrible matchup, but again, there's better options cheaper below him. I mean, you got Tua down below in price, you got Trevor Lawrence below in price, Kirk Cousins cheaper in price.
Yep.
All of those guys are better options than Hurts and Fields this week. So you can skip those 2, 3, and 4 guys and either pay up for Jackson, pay up for Herbert, or just work your way down the list.
Exactly. So speaking of working your way down the list, who is your value play? Let's see if we can get our
this
first one.
I think we might actually match on here. My value play is actually one of my favorite plays of the week, and that's Derek Carr versus Tennessee. It's at 5,300 on DraftKings and 7,000 on FanDuel. The FanDuel price is a little bit high, but that DraftKings price is gorgeous. With Kendra Miller dinged up and Alvin Kamara suspended, the Saints will be forced to throw even more early this season. Derek Carr still has a live arm, and he's got some great deep wide receiver weapons to throw to in Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and the returning Michael Thomas. Plus, he's got a tight end that's built like a wide receiver in Juwan Johnson. He's going to face a Tennessee defense that allowed the third most passing yards and the second most wide receiver receptions and second most wide receiver receiving touchdowns last season. So I think this is a big premier start for Carr versus the Titans.
I do not hate that. I looked at it myself, and maybe I'm a little jaded with how I made my pick, but I went with a guy who I think is pretty maligned, didn't have the best year last year, but I think this year shows that what we've seen from him previously, he warrants being discussed in the top 5, 6, you know, quarterbacks in the league. And I don't know that we're going to see Deshaun Watson priced quite this low going forward. I feel like he's safer, that he's at home. And yes, I know that Carr is also, but I just think that you're going to see a new Nick Chubb. You're going to see him involved in the pass game. And I just think Watson's in for a very good game.
No argument whatsoever there. He's one of those second-tier quarterbacks that I definitely like at the price range.
Okay. No matches through quarterbacks, which is where we had probably our best success last year.
That was actually, I think Carr was the one that I thought we had the best chance on.
Yeah. All right, let's go to running back. What are you looking for paying up? Who are you looking to pay up for at running back this week?
This week, I don't love any of the high-priced running backs. I mean, I like a couple of them, but I don't love any of them. I never like when the very first week your top two running backs are both over $9,000 on FanDuel. That makes it very, very tough, particularly since FanDuel doesn't offer full PPR. So, I mean, that means you need your running backs to produce not just 8 or 9 catches that happen to add up to points on DraftKings. You have to get the big yardage and the touchdowns on the ground, too, to make up that difference. So I'm still going to pay up for one of those guys, though, and that's Austin Eckler versus Miami. Miami allowed the 8th most receptions and receiving yards, so 8th most receiving yards as well to opposing running backs last season, including 8 catches for 59 yards to Eckler earlier in the season. Also, no team allowed more running back receiving scores than Miami last season. Oh, and in addition, over the weekend, Kalon Moore stated that the Chargers do not intend to reduce Eckler's usage at all this season. They're gonna Josh Jacobs this year.
Yeah. So I don't disagree. I don't hate that pick at all. But I'm going to pay up for the guy that I think could finish as the running back 1 this year. And that's Nick Chubb. I am Nicholas Chubb. We know what he does when he's got the ball in his hand with the running game. I do think that he winds up being more involved in the passing game and being at home. I think we're in for a 2-touchdown week from Nick Chubb. Plus,
I like Nick Chubb a lot this year. If I had to rank my running backs this season, it's McCaffrey, Eckler, Chubb, and it's not close. And then it's a drop off to the next tier.
Yep.
I feel like I'm being hypocritical here in saying this. I don't love the idea of stacking your quarterback and running back, although I just said I'm going to stack my quarterback and running back in my pay-to-plays. So most likely, I'm actually going to stack Derek Carr with Austin Eckler and then build around them at other positions.
Right.
Starting Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb together sounds kind of scary too. So depends. If you go Lamar Jackson and Nick Chubb, that probably feels safer.
Yeah. That's possible. Okay. Who are you staying away from?
The guy I'm staying away from this week is Josh Jacobs at Denver. It's price is $7,700 on DraftKings, $8,400 on FanDuel. Jacobs actually feasted in the two matchups with the Broncos last season, but after sitting out all preseason, one has to assume he's going to be eased into workload. I assume Zamir White's going to get probably 10 to 12 touches, which means that Jacobs is not going to get a Josh Jacobs load this year, at least not in week one. Not exactly the greatest matchup anyways, facing Denver in Denver. But again, like I said, he did good against them last year. I just don't think he's going to do quite as much this year.
Denver in Denver at altitude on top of that, right?
Yes.
After sitting
that out. Is a situation where he can affect the guy, particularly a larger running back like Jacobs.
Yeah. So I had somebody I wrote down first, and they're two guys that I was going to stay away from. They're two guys I'm pretty sour on for this year. The first name I wrote down was Derrick Henry. I just don't love the matchup. I know that Tennessee needs to keep a game close, but this is in New Orleans. New Orleans, I feel like their defense is still stout enough. I think that with Derek Carr throwing the ball around, that they could build a lead. That's why I considered him for my value play. And Tennessee is not going to be a team that plays well from behind, especially if they have to try and feed Henry, which doesn't happen. But at the end of the day...
I think the only nice thing Henry's got going for him is that even when they are playing from behind, they still feed him.
Yeah, well, that's if they do that, if they can do that. But at the end of the day, I went with the same call you did. So our first match of the year is Josh Jacobs.
We might actually match at value play, too. There's a couple guys who have an increased opportunity due to injuries or suspension. One of the guys I looked at was Jamal Williams. But again, I don't love the idea of stacking quarterback and running back together. Now, Williams is certainly going to be the focal point on the ground for New Orleans this week. But there's a chance still we might see some chicanery involving Taysom Hill. Again, I feel like it's going to be more of a passing game where Carr takes advantage of the piss-poor Tennessee secondary. So I didn't go with Jamal Williams. I don't hate Jamal Williams. I actually kind of like him at his price tag. I also like the mixture of backs that may start for Indianapolis. Although, again, I don't know who is going to have the most carries. Right now they're saying Deion Jackson is going to get the start. But, again, we don't know how much of a role he'll have. We don't know how much of a role the rookie Evan Hull will have. We don't know if Zach Moss will suit up. And if he does, will he cut into the touches at all? We do know that eventually Moss will become the number one there, at least until Jonathan Taylor returns or they trade him. But in the meantime, so I thought about that. They're both near the bottom of the price structure for running backs this week. But I settled on a guy who's got probably the best opportunity. And he's also on a good offense. He's playing in that game that we've talked about a little bit already that's got the highest point total according to Vegas right now, and that's the Miami-Los Angeles Chargers game. So I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert. Again, if this game is high-scoring, both teams are going to move the ball pretty much at will. He's the only healthy back left for Miami outside of Salvon Ahmad, and I'm certainly not going to play him. I expect him to rock here at the bargain price of $5,400 on DraftKings and the ridiculously low price of $5,900 on FanDuel.
So we don't match. But if I told you you had a chance to pick a value play at running back for a guy that's going to start and probably see at least 40% of the team's touches, what would you say to that if I told you you'd get him for under $5,000?
It's hard to pass that up.
It is. And for me, I'm blinded by it because I think that at the end of the day, this guy is the one that's going to be the value in the Eagles' backfield. I love DeAndre Swift, but I'm not paying what DeAndre Swift is priced at right now. And I think DeAndre Swift's going to have limited roles where they maximize his ability and his value, right? There'll be more value there for them football-wise than fantasy-wise, very possibly. But I love Kenneth Gainwell this week. I think he's underpriced. I think he's going to carry the ball 10, 12 times, and he'll probably mix in 4 to 5 receptions and a TD.
Yeah,
there
was a lot of coach speak this preseason regarding that whole backfield, and I really kind of want to wait a week to see. But, I mean, when you think about it, of the guys they have there now,
yep,
Gainwell is really the one that has experience in this offense.
And he finished the year strong last year. Just if you're going to play anyone in that backfield, he's the one. Look at the price. I mean, there's only Deion Jackson and Evan Hall priced less than him. And actually, yeah, Deion Jackson and Evan Hall are priced more than him on the one site.
Yeah, I think that Gainwell is kind of a sneaky play. And again, New England is probably easier to run against them than is pass against them. Although, again, like we did talk a little earlier, their secondary is not the vaunted secondary that it was in the past. They're still improved. But again, it's just so hard to tell. But if you want a guy with a cheap floor at a cheap price, nothing wrong with going with Gainwell, especially if you want to spend up at wide receiver, which you may want to do.
Yep, that's very true. So speaking of wide receiver, who are you going to pay up for at the wide receiver position?
Well, we were just joking about risking not playing him this week, and that's Justin Jefferson going up against Tampa Bay. With Delvin Cook out of the picture, the Vikings are going to lean even more heavily on their passing game, and Jefferson's going to be the primary beneficiary. He's got T.J. Hockenson to keep teams' offenses, keep defenses open over the middle. We've got Jordan Addison, the rookie. They brought back K.J. Osborne, the fourth-year player who kind of broke out last season, kind of took over that number two role from Adam Thielen. Osborne now shifts to the number two slot. There's a lot of weapons there, but yeah. I feel like this is going to be a pass-heavy game, pass-heavy game script for the Vikings. Justin Jefferson will absolutely eat.
And we have our first match at wide receiver this year, and it's fitting that it's Justin Jefferson. Who are you going to stay away from? I thought this one was an easy call, believe it or not.
So there's a couple options. I mean, I skipped Cooper Kupp because of the injury.
Okay, so did I.
It's looking more and more now like he's not going to play. When the salaries are posted, it wasn't as severe of a thing. But again, it really sounds very, very unlikely he's going to play. I don't love Ja'Marr Chase this week as price tag, but he was not the guy I'm staying away from. I wanted to dislike Davante Adams facing that Denver secondary on the road until I looked to see what Davante Adams did to the Denver secondary last year and was just absolutely abused them in the two games. So I decided to not make him my stay away. I went one player down on the list, and that's A.J. Brown, who is the sixth highest priced player on DraftKings. And it looks like the seventh highest priced player on FanDuel, 7,600 and 8,100. As we've talked, the Patriots are not the star-laden team they used to be. But Bill Belichick always strategizes to take out an opponent's biggest threat in the passing game. On the Eagles, that player is A.J. Brown. Now, you're already concerned about Devonta Smith stealing action, Dallas Goedert stealing action, the running game, which has kind of been the face of Philly from last season. So, again, no reason to take on any additional risk with Brown at this price. Yes, he might have a blow-up game, but, again, I feel there's far too much risk to pay him that much when you can get these other guys right in that same price range that are, got much better lineup, much better matchups.
So this is definitely one of those spots where you can say, well, I didn't draft A.J. Brown because this is DFS, so I can sit him, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, if you drafted A.J. Brown in the first or second round of your draft, you're starting him this week.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't love him this week at all.
No, I agree with you. However, he's not my stay away. My stay away is a guy that you touched on, and it's Davante Adams. And I don't care what he did last year. They've got a new coach, okay?
They do have a new coach, new quarterback.
and they have they've got one of the best young corners in the league, right, in Surtain. And they don't have Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's kind of why I didn't want – I thought about that. I was looking at Surtain, and I'm like, I didn't want him just for that reason. But, again, like I said, once I looked, I'm like, well, he faced Surtain last year. And, I mean, he basically made Surtain on an island.
Yeah, but also this year, I don't think they have Josh Jacobs to lean on as much, which will make them less fearful of the pass, I think, because they're not going to be fearful of the run, if that makes sense. I don't like Adams. I don't like him at his price. I don't like not knowing what we're going to get with Jimmy Garoppolo behind center for him. I'm out on that offense right now.
Yeah, again, and Surtain is an elite cornerback. Take with a grain of salt what we're saying about how Devontae did last year. If you do want to start someone in that game, in the Vegas passing game, I'd maybe consider one of the two tight ends or possibly Jacoby Myers, who I think might actually have a better game than Adams, at least based on price point.
Yeah, that I would agree with all of that, actually. Who's your value play then?
Well, I thought about taking an expensive value play because it's one of my favorite plays this week.
Tyreek Hill, right?
And hooking up Chris Olave with Derek Carr. I didn't. I thought that the price tag was just too high to consider him a value play, although I think he totally blows away three times value at 6,500 on DraftKings. My value play is cheaper than that. It's Jahan Dotson versus Arizona. He's 5,000 on DraftKings, 6,100 on FanDuel. Arizona has basically admitted that they're planning to tank this season. Washington is expected to see a much improved offense now that Sam Howell is finally being given the chance to throw the ball rather than just sitting on the bench watching the undead remains of Carson Wentz and or Jacoby Brissett throwing the ball there. Terry McLaurin is doubtful for this game, which will make Dotson the clear number one option in the passing game. You know what? You can even consider Curtis Samuel in deep sleeper territory, too. Both Dotson and Samuel started last season absolutely balling out the first couple weeks. Yeah. I expect a repeat for both of them here.
So I don't mind either of those plays that you mentioned or the one that you're going with in Dotson, honestly. I think it could be a big week for the Washington running backs, too, actually.
Yeah, I do like both. But again, it's kind of hard to think about which one's going to be the guy. It's not like Gainwell where there's a decided price difference where you can get some value. Both the running backs are kind of about the same price, so there's no obvious advantage there.
Yep, exactly. So I'm staying in the game that we talked about earlier when I said I was staying away from Davante Adams. I'm staying in that Denver-Vegas game. I'm going with Courtland Sutton as my value play.
Well, that $5,900 price on FanDuel is absolutely juicy for Courtland Sutton. And for our listeners who also read on Fridays, I put together the Daily Dominator, which is a complete breakdown of every single worthwhile play at all four of the major positions on both sites. And Courtland Sutton will be featured in this week's article, particularly with that matchup on FanDuel at $5,900, which is just absolutely juicy. And in that same game, if you really want to, you can also look at Marvin Mims, who's probably going to get the start opposite Sutton, with Judy more than likely out for at least the first week.
Yep. And here's the thing. I think people will let last year and last year's Broncos poison their memory and not realize just how good Courtland Sutton is. He definitely should not be priced that low. I don't think that Russ may not be the Russ that we were used to in Seattle, but I do believe that we still wind up seeing a much better Russ and a much better offense in Denver this week. I think that at that price, he's just a no-brainer to fill out a spot on DFS lineups.
You've got to assume that, well, Russell Wilson's talent has degraded some since his time in Seattle. They have a much better coaching situation there.
Much. All right, let's move. We're definitely not hitting the over. We could push, but we're definitely not hitting the over now since we only have two matches. Let's go over to the tight end position, Mr. Tight End Whisperer. And everybody will want to probably not really put much weight into what I say, but listen to Harley. He is the Tight End Whisperer. Who are you paying up for at the tight end position?
Well, this might seem like a escape out here because this player probably wouldn't be considered a pay up in most situations, but he is the fifth highest priced tight end on the DraftKings board. And FanDuel, there are 6 players, 7 players ahead of him. So he's 8th highest on FanDuel. This guy, of course, is Tyler Higbee of the Los Angeles Rams. They're going to Seattle, and Higbee's price is $4,800 and $5,300. Again, those don't sound like pay-up prices, but he's still in the top 5 on DraftKings and the top 10 on FanDuel in terms of price. He is my absolute favorite play of any position this week, going up against the defense that allowed the most yards to the tight end position last season. And you know what? With no Cooper Kupp, we can only assume that the alpha passing role in the Rams attack is going to be Tyler Higbee. He's really the only other guy that Matthew Stafford knows the name of. So we're going to see a lot of Tyler Higbee. Yes, Van Jefferson will probably see some target share. The rookie Puka Nacua will probably see some target share. But when it matters, Higbee is going to be the guy. Big game. Not great, not big price, but big game, and definitely 3x value on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's pretty much a cop out. But okay, it's your pay up. I get it. For what it's worth, Mark Andrews and the injury concerns, etc. I of course did not look at him. I did go to a game where you also think there's going to be a high amount of passing going on. I went with Hock. I love Hock this year. I think that this is one of the weeks where he's got a clear edge over the other top three guys price-wise. He's higher on FanDuel, of course, but 5,900 on DraftKings looks really nice.
I agree. 5,900 for him. He's the only reason I didn't go with Hockenson is because I feel like the best part of the secondary for Tampa Bay is their linebacker core.
Yeah.
But I think Hockenson's going to have a good game, probably 6 or 7 catches, probably safe for 70 yards. And a touchdown's in play. I think that he's not going to score this week, but 6 and 70 is not bad.
I was thinking 670 and a touchdown. I think he gets a touchdown this week.
If he gets a touchdown, he definitely returns 3 times value on DraftKings. FanDuel, again, that 7,200 is a little hard pill to swallow. But, again, you can choose not to play him on FanDuel.
That is true. Okay, who are you staying away from?
This one should be pretty obvious. I think we're probably going to match this for both. At least I'm staying away from Mark Andrews versus Houston. He is going to play this week. He's returning to practice tomorrow, from what we understand. And this should be a fairly easy start versus a middling Houston defense. But Andrews has missed nearly a week and a half now with an injury that's completely undisclosed. We have no clue what this injury is. If he returns tomorrow or Wednesday, he's probably going to play. I mean, again, it sounds like he's going to. And realistically, if anyone can step right in, it's probably Andrews.
Yeah.
But we also have to look at the fact that this is a brand new offense this season, and I'd be a little concerned what the target split is going to end up being. Now, obviously, we know Andrews. We know that Lamar Jackson loves Andrews. We've already said that Lamar Jackson's one of our favorite plays for this week. But this isn't the typical Baltimore Ravens offense. Nope. It's not just Andrews and David DuVernay. Now they actually have weapons. They've got a healthy Rashad Bateman. They have a healthy and playing Odell Beckham Jr. They've got the rookie Zay Flowers. There's a lot of mouths to feed there now that weren't there even just last season.
And an offensive coordinator.
So 6,200 is hard. 8,000 is impossible for Mark Andrews this week.
And an offensive coordinator that believes in throwing the ball deep. Right?
Yeah, that's not really Andrews' game.
Yeah. So I wrote Andrews down, and then I crossed him out, and then I put Kittle. And then I crossed Kittle out and I went back to Andrews since I do think he's going to play, but I think he's going to be on a possible snap count and stuff like that. I don't love Kittle's matchup either because, like you, and you hinted at it earlier, I've got questions about Brock Purdy. Look, the league, yes, he set the league on fire at the end of the year last year, but defense coordinators have tape, lots of tape now and lots of time. I'm just not sure he's the guy. He may make me eat my
words.
There's
a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Exactly. And yes, he landed in probably one of the best places to be with a coach that knows how to design plays and get players open and give them easy reads and throws, right? But I'm not a believer yet, and that may come to bite me. But in DFS, you don't have to believe in somebody because you can go another way. And I then, instead of Kittle, I did decide to go back to Andrews, and I called Andrews my stay away. So we have another match. We have a third match of the night.
Well, no, I had a couple choices that I looked at for my value play this week. I considered Gerald Everett because I wanted to get more access to that Chargers offense.
Yep.
But I didn't like the $5,500 FanDuel price as much. I like the $4,300 DraftKings price a lot with him. I like David Njoku to have a pretty good week this week. I like Pat Freiermuth to have a good week this week. We talked a little bit about Juwan Johnson already, who I like. And his $3,900 DraftKings price is an absolte joke. I can see Johnson scoring 2 touchdowns and meeting like 4.5 times his price value on DraftKings this week.
Right.
But the guy I went with, it wouldn't be the start of the season without me throwing the Arizona Cardinals under the bus. So I'm going to take Logan Thomas as my value play at $3,200 on DraftKings, $4,900 on FanDuel. Arizona was biblically bad against tight ends last season. And frankly, they've been biblically bad against the position all but one season over the last decade. There is a new regime there, but unfortunately the talent is just as bad, if not worse. I mean, they just got rid of Isaiah Simmons for nothing.
Yes.
Much like with Dotson at wide receiver, Thomas will see a boost in targets with McLaurin more than likely out in this game. Thomas is a little dinged up, so keep an eye on that. But assuming Logan Thomas plays this week, I like him, again, to have 6 or so catches, maybe 50 yards, a touchdown's definitely in play.
Okay. We don't match. I knew we wouldn't match because of who your payup was. So the first guy that I wrote down as a value play, I crossed off. But I'm going to tell you who I picked, who that was and why first. It's Dalton Schultz for a Houston team that's going to be pretty bad this year. And they've got a young quarterback, and he'll probably have to rely on Schultz a little bit. And they're going to be playing, I think, a lot of that game in catch-up mode, right? Garbage time. So I like that about Schultz. But Schultz is only $200 less than Tyler Higbee and $100 less than Tyler Higbee. So I was like, nope, Tyler Higbee's going to be my value play this week. Instead of doing the opposite of going way down the list and looking for, you know, a Hunter Henry or an Irv Smith or something like that, I decided I'm going to go for a guy that's going to have a chance at four times value. And Higbee very easily could hit four or five times value this week.
Yeah, this is the same guy that people tend to forget about because he had a down season 2 years ago. But pre-COVID, he had that stretch at the end of the season where he had nearly 700 yards over five games and six or seven touchdowns in that stretch. Higbee is not a bad tight end, and he goes virtually undrafted until like the late, like 11th, 12th round of drafts. And again, I mean, if you are drafting still this weekend or today or tomorrow, seriously consider looking at him if you don't get a Andrews or a Kelce or a Hockenson early on. Because, I mean, by the end of the season, particularly if Kupp misses significant time, Higbee is going to be the featured part of the offense.
Yeah, if I didn't hit on one of my earlier tight ends in drafts and I was truly punting and waiting on the position, Higbee was a guy I was waiting and getting late in drafts hand over fist, honestly.
Him and for me also, I mean, I got Darren Waller a lot late, which I really liked, and Evan Ingram too.
Yeah. Ingram still went a little earlier than what I would have wanted to pick if I wasn't going that position at that point. And I like Higbee's got close to just as much upside, quite honestly, in my opinion. So there you go. We have three matches, although Harley had a pay up at tight end that matched my value play. Go figure. so the under hits. We start off the season banging, as I guess somebody might say. I'm being facetious, of course. But that's where it is. So we've already gone over with, you know, how do you handle your starting lineup this week? You don't overthink it. That's what you do. And we just gave you our pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays at the positions by quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Do that as you may, and hopefully it helps you to win some money one way or another. And if you have any questions about anything fantasy-related, whether it's DFS or Dynasty or Redraft, et cetera, by all means, you can hit up Harley on Twitter at NewClearHarley. You can hit me up at SteveGalloNFL. And if you haven't done so yet, go ahead and subscribe to thehuddle.com. We've got all kinds of tools and things to help you dominate your fantasy league. And like we like to say, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.